I still work at a bank, a small commercial bank, about 40 miles from here. And this past week, I was very perturbed by a couple of things that happened. For one thing, for the past couple of months, as the loan people are supposed to keep track of how many minutes they work on each loan. So different people work on a loan, and I'm like a mortgage originator, so I work with mortgages a lot. And usually it takes me about 4 hours to do all the different things that I have to do. That's what it seemed to average out to be. But I was noticing some of the other people that put their time in, and for some of the loans, they were spending 6 hours on doing disclosures. 6 hours on just the simple disclosures that should have only taken less than an hour. It just kind of blew my mind as to how inefficient things were working. And what were these people doing all this time? Then another thing happened. Monday, or this past week, a customer sold his farm, and the title company sent the payoff check by FedEx to our bank, and it arrived at our bank around 10:30 on Monday morning. So on Wednesday afternoon, I get an email message from the collector saying, why hasn't this guy made his payments? I mean, he's way behind on his payments, he hasn't made his payments, and I thought, oh, they're supposed to have been paid off by Monday. So I started looking into it, and here we did get the check on Monday, but nobody had processed, or somehow the check had not been processed till Wednesday afternoon. Finally, after my phone calls, it finally got processed. It only takes about 5 minutes to write up the slips to process a payoff check. So I just think in my mind, what were they doing? I mean, it just bothers me that stuff like this happens. Well, anyway, it's just showing to me there's just a lack of diligence on the part of some of our people that work for our company. And, the success or a failure of a business depends a lot on how diligent its employees are. In fact, diligence is a key to success in whatever endeavor you do. It's truly a key to success. And it's a key to success in even being a Christian. Now, consider the advice of one of the wisest men who ever lived. And he gave it to us over in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. And I'm talking about Solomon, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And this was toward the end of his life, evidently, he wrote this book. But notice what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. So his advice was, do it with your might, whatever your hand finds to do. Put effort into it. Try to be helpful to those that are around you. It sometimes takes to put your might into something, to be diligent at doing something. It sometimes takes power. It takes effort. It takes strength. Sometimes it takes concentration. Sometimes you have to be organized so that you get the job done efficiently. Sometimes it just takes a little more education, knowing what you're supposed to do or how to do it. Sometimes it just takes more practice. The other day, there was a young Amishman came in to see me. He's 27 years old, and I had noticed that over the past year, he has paid $84,000 extra on his mortgage. $84,000 in 11 months on his mortgage. I said, and he has a little business. His business is he puts siding on houses. I said to him, how many houses are you going to side this year? He says, looks like we're going to be able to do about 130 houses. 130 houses for one man, 27 years old, and his little crew of Amish. It's just amazing to me. They're very diligent though in their work. I mean, they get started early in the morning and they you know, don't get home until later in the day. Anyway, that was amazing to me. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Just back a couple of pages. Proverbs 22, verse 29. And see here. It says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before unknown men." Excels in his work means he does a good job. This word excels here comes from the Hebrew word that's pronounced marhir. And it means, to excel means, I looked it up, it means sometimes quick, sometimes skillful, sometimes diligent, hasty, ready, or excels. So it's, you know, they're not messing around. They're getting things done. They're diligent. They're quick. They're quick and they're skillful at the same time. They're productive. So in a person like that, that excels in his work, is going to have the opportunity to stand before kings. And I'm reminded of the story of Colin Powell. I don't know. Most of you know who Colin Powell is, hopefully. He was very much in the news 10 or 15 years ago. So maybe some of you younger people don't know. But anyway, Colin Powell grew up in Harlem. I don't know. You probably know where Harlem is. It's in New York City. It's the worst part of New York City, at least what I've heard. Now, maybe there's people here from New York City could set me straight. But anyway, growing up in Harlem, his parents were immigrants from Jamaica. And his mother was a seamstress, and his father was a shipping clerk. So they had pretty low-paying jobs. But Colin Powell went to college. He had the opportunity to go to college. And actually, he was only a C student in college. But when he got out of college, he joined the military. And that seemed to be where he excelled. And he really applied himself and was very diligent. And actually has a very sharp mind and a very good, pleasant personality. He got along with a lot of people. And actually, Ronald Reagan had made him as a part of his national security advisors. And then the first George Bush, made him the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff for the U.S. military, the top military position in the United States. And then President Clinton continued to have him do that job. And then George Bush, the second George Bush, made him his Secretary of State. So you have this young man who grew up in Harlem, was able to stand before kings. He literally, Secretary of State, goes around the world standing before kings, representing the United States. A very well-liked man by both parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. Kind of an amazing feat right there. Anyway, the same Hebrew word, is over in Psalms chapter 45, verse 1. It's not that many times in the Bible this word was used. But here's another example of where this word was used. Psalms 45, verse 1. And it's actually the writer of this psalm, if you kind of read it, it seems like this writer just feels inspired. He says, "My heart is overflowing with a good theme." He's really feeling good about the thoughts in his heart. "I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." The word "ready" there is the same word that was translated excels, or in other places, diligent. And his tongue was like the pen of a ready writer. He could recite in his, this was a song that he had actually composed. and he could recite the song just like his, like he was a writer that knew the right things to say. His tongue just seemed to have the right things to say. He was like a ready writer. A ready writer is one who is skillful, who is quick, who is diligent, who excels. And to be a good writer, it takes a lot of work to be a good writer. It takes a lot of concentration. It takes a lot of education. And then you practice. You don't just become a great writer overnight. It takes practice. It takes being organized and focused. And for those of us who love to read books, there is a difference between all the different writers. Some writers can keep your interest so that you have a really hard time putting down that book. And my wife is an example. She gets into a really good book. She doesn't come to bed. It's like, wow, that was really a good book. But that's a good writer can do that. Or a good writer can make you feel like you're right there. You're right there in the scene. You hear the people talking. You see everything that's going on. Good writers can do that. A ready writer, someone who is skillful, who excels in their writing. So that Hebrew word is used here as a ready writer, a diligent person. The same Hebrew word, mar, here is over in Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. Ezra is over here. Let's see, Ezra. Ezra is between the Chronicles and Nehemiah. Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. And then it says, this Ezra, it's talking about Ezra, came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The word skilled here is the same word, maha, that was translated ready over there in Psalms, and also excels there in Proverbs when we read that. It's also sometimes translated diligent. So Ezra was a skilled scribe who excelled. He was diligent. He was a ready scribe. Could have been translated all those different things. And then notice verse 11. Verse 10, actually. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. So he focused, he concentrated, he really was diligent about preparing himself to be a teacher and to understand God's word and to understand the principles of the law. And then notice verse 11. This is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes, here again, he stood before kings, gave Ezra the priest, the scribe, expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. So he was a expert in God's commandments. He was a very highly respected man, was very important in the history of the nation of Judah and reestablishing the nation of Judah after they came back to the promised land from captivity. And he was one who excelled. He was one who was very diligent at educating himself. And we too should strive to excel. We too should strive to be diligent. We too need to be ready and to be skillful. And, you know, each one of us has different talents and different interests and different things. So we don't have to be skillful in the same things. And it's wonderful that we are not, because then we can all contribute to each other by being skillful in the things that we really love doing. Okay. For a Christian, though, to be diligent encompasses even more. It encompasses even more of excelling and being skillful. It is more than just being the best at what you do or getting ahead of others. It's more than that. More than being the best basketball player or the best volleyball player. Let's notice over in Romans chapter 12, another scripture. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Romans chapter 12 is a chapter that talks a lot about interpersonal relationships with other Christians and with other people around us. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I want to start in verse 9, because it says, it's talking about love. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. You know, love is important. Love is very, very important, but it needs to be sincere. It shouldn't be fake. It should be, we truly should love the people around us and love other people. And notice it says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. So it's really talking this theme of love here. And honor, giving preference to one another. You know, you make the other person have a good time. You help the other person at whatever you can help them with. You give them preference. Let them go first if they will. And then notice what it says, not lagging in diligence. It's talking about love, and then all of a sudden it's talking about diligence. But it's about talking about being diligent in loving one another. Being diligent in caring for one another. Being diligent in putting yourself in their shoes. I mean, it just doesn't happen that you love somebody or you care about other people. It takes effort. It takes the focus. It takes, wanting to do it. You know, it just doesn't happen. So, we can be diligent as a Christian in loving one another and treating them as we would want to be treated. So, we today are reminded that diligence is a key to success. It is a key to a success as a Christian. And there are many opportunities for diligence. But most of all, let us be diligent in loving our brothers and sisters in the faith.